repent and believe in the gospel. These are the words you will hear as I mark your foreheads with ashes to begin this Lenten season, as is our tradition. But the very marking of our foreheads with ash is a very public and very visible thing. Everyone will know you went to Mass, or at least you got ashes somehow, somewhere, as many will try to do today, regardless of whether they go to communion or not. These very actions that are our custom in the United States, because in Europe they sprinkle the ashes on the tops of their heads so no one can see them, seems to be a glaring contradiction to the gospel today. I would argue that, in essence, it is. Jesus says, when you're fasting, wash your face so that no one notices. But then we here in this country put a huge, ugly, ashen cross on the most prominent part of our body, our foreheads, where billions of dollars are spent to make up, to Botox, and to beautify. And for some of us really vain people, our foreheads are so beautiful, they extend well beyond the parameters to the back of our heads, and our baldness shows the vanity within. Why would we do such a thing in this country? Well, it goes back to the persecutions we have always experienced since arriving in this land as Catholics, beginning in the first settlement of Maryland, named after the mother of Jesus, the first cathedral of Baltimore of the United States of America, where with the Know Nothing Party, the Ku Klux Klan prominent here in Colorado in the 20s, 1920s, and elsewhere, there's been a great hatred toward Catholics. The people of this parish from the day they arrived in 1879 until today experience all types of racism and persecution. First the Irish and the Italian and the German Catholics and the Chicanos and now the Mexican immigrants. And as only Americans can do, we're very much in your face. We decided to put the ashes not on the tops of our heads, but on our foreheads to boldly proclaim proudly that we are Catholic without shame. Now, today, everyone gets ashes. Repent and believe in the gospel. It's a slight contradiction, what we're about to do today, to the gospel, but with a history and a purpose and a tradition to assert our Catholic identity in the face of persecution, so that if or when we are insulted, as we heard last Sunday, we simply turn the other cheek. When we are cursed and mocked, we issue a blessing instead. Such actions are far more faithful to the gospel and teachings of Christ in Matthew chapter 5, which we've just covered these last few weeks, than any type of ash on our body. In fact, Jesus never told us to put ash on ourselves. This is a beautiful, simple custom to mark the beginning of the Lenten season, but in no way fulfilling any gospel mandate. Many people will receive ashes today. Sadly, far fewer will receive the Eucharist on Sunday. You see, when we hear these words, repent and believe in the gospel, we're charged to live what Christ taught. Nowhere did he ever say, put ash on your forehead or your heads. Now, this practice goes back to the Old Testament as a sign of repentance. They would dress in sackcloth and cover themselves in ash and not let anything enter their mouth as a way of repentance for their sins and to call upon God's mercy and turn away his wrath. This is certainly a Judeo-Christian custom and tradition. But Christ brings us to the fullness of the gospel, where he wants not just repentance, but hearts filled with him to love others as he did, to forgive them, and to serve them as he does us when we don't deserve it and we haven't earned it, just as they. Jesus never says, put ash on your forehead. But when we hear the words repent and believe in the gospel, we're reminded that he does command us as God to take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body. Do this in memory of me. To repent is to go to confession so that we can fulfill that divine command and do what he says, not put ashes on our foreheads, but his very body, blood, soul, and divinity into our bodies. That's a divine command. The Christian repents by making a good sacramental confession so as to fulfill the command Christ calls us to eat his body and to drink his blood, and to do this in memory of me. It was the covenant he left us the night before he would suffer and die, as we focus on every Friday this Lent in particular with the stations of the cross, remembering his passion and death, though while we were still sinners, he suffered and died for us, as Paul tells us. We receive communion having gone to confession only because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapters 10 and 11 that if we eat his body and blood unworthily, we eat condemnation upon ourselves. Many people today will go to Ash Wednesday and receive their ashes inside or outside of Mass, but sadly not fulfill that divine command to take and eat in the state of grace. Many people will say today, well, I haven't killed anybody, why do I need to go to confession? But sin is not about legal and civil law. You can be a legally upstanding civil person and be a terrible sinner. The law that we're held to is much higher than what our government, city and county, call us to. It's the divine commandments, the ten that Christ gave us. It's our way of responding to him who has loved us unconditionally. Jesus says, many will call me Lord, Lord, and not enter the kingdom of heaven. He speaks of many parables where people will knock on the door and say, but we ate with you, and we drank with you, and we sat and listened to you. And I will say, I do not know you. Apart from me, you evildoers. It is not enough to eat and drink and to listen, but to repent and follow him. And we respond to his initiative of love, unmerited, unconditional, total and absolute, to the cross, by simply keeping his commandments. If you love me, you will do what I have commanded you to do. In the first letter of John, chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, John writes, the way we can be sure that we know him is if we keep his commandments. The one who says he knows him but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The way we can be sure that we know him is if we live as he lived, end quote. First letter of John, chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. And so today we come before the Lord acknowledging that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Because if we're not sinners, then we have no use for Jesus. But if we acknowledge our sins, the ways in which we have broken his commandments, Christ waits with open arms to receive us again, as the Father did to his prodigal son. This is our season, the season of those who choose to truly repent and believe in the gospel, not with ashes on their forehead, but with repentant hearts in the confessional and worthy receiving hands and tongues of the body and blood of our Savior. Yes, we fast, we give alms, we pray, but that is beyond and above keeping his commands. When we do all with the help of his grace, we can be sure that we are living the mystery of Christ's passion, death, resurrection, and ascension in our lives, what the church calls the Paschal mystery. That is our hope. He is our salvation. And today, together, we begin that 40-day journey. So let us hear these words anew today and every day in our hearts. Repent and believe in the gospel.